I swear it was just a month ago that we were talking about the start of the school year, and here we are at the midpoint of April with Dr. Kevin Miller, the superintendent of St. Clair County RESA. Kevin, good morning.
Good to be here, Paul. Good morning to you. It's November, isn't it?
It seems like it should be. Time really flies, doesn't it?
My goodness. I've always found throughout my teaching career, administrative career, when you turn that corner in the second semester, it just seems to just go boom.
Yeah.
And then you're at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got spring break kind of in the middle there. And then when you come back from that, it's just it's really a race then to the end of the year. When I walked in today, I said, really? Is it April 17th? Are you kidding me?
I feel like in January and February, we wondered if we would ever go through a whole week without a snow day.
Right.
It was a little rough, but we weathered the storm. And here we are at the sort of nearing the end point of the school year.
Yeah, you know, it's even this week with the snow they had in the northern part of the Lower Peninsula, Upper Peninsula, there were districts that were off a day, I think Monday was a bad day. There was up to a foot of snow. Some of those areas in the UP have had 300 inches of snow. I just can't even fathom that. We think it's bad here.
Yeah.
Just move north a bit.
This is the time of year school boards, including RESA, are putting together their budgets for the next school year, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, and it's a dicey proposition at best. I mean, you're really going into this, and you really have to do your homework as far as knowing and projecting how many students you're going to have. And, of course, you know throughout the last really 17, 18 years, our county number of children being born has dropped, and which leads 5 years later to lower kindergarten numbers, which leads to a quandary of trying to budget where – you don't know what your kindergarten number is going to be. So you look at birth rates, and you work with companies who, for a small charge, will do a out 4 or 5 or 6 years for you on what your enrollment might be. But for a district like Port Huron and East, I mean, it's happening all over the state. But at East China, I was an administrator there for a few years in the early 2000s. We were looking at a drop of 250 to 300 kids just on incoming kindergartners versus graduating seniors.
Yeah. You know,
graduating 650 seniors and getting 350 kindergartners in. Well, that presents a problem. So, but you're not sure what the numbers are going to be. So you're doing that. And then I remember doing budgets when I was superintendent at Croswell Lexington in 08 and 09. I think it was 09 where we did not have a budget from the state until early October. So now you're really throwing darts at a dartboard. You're trying to project. So the two big things I need my student numbers and I need my state aid number. And if you don't know either of those,
have fun
putting a budget together that has to legally be approved.
Right.
Now, here's the other part of it. The process, your budget for the local school district and for our RESA has to be done by June 30th by law.
Mm-hmm.
The state budget starts October 1. So it's never made sense to me. It's a difficult thing to switch, but with having to have our, so if we're waiting on the state for a budget, and it sure appears we're headed in that direction this year, Governor Whitmer has put I think a really nice education budget, a compliment to her. She's listened to a group that we as an ISD RESA participate in called MAISA. It's our statewide superintendent's group for ISDs and RESAs. We had a number of people participate in a panel or a group that really put out what does it really cost to educate students in Michigan. So that School Finance Research Initiative came out. And the governor took a number of items directly from that.
Mm-hmm.
It takes more. It costs more to educate a special needs child. It costs more to educate a child who is blind or deaf. Or there's a number of extra costs. It costs more to educate a high school student than does an elementary student. They're just built in. So she's included some of those things in her budget, but she's also done this little thing called a road tax idea.
Yeah.
And so that now thrown into the mix, I think has created, I wouldn't call it a roadblock yet, but there is no movement. By now, we've heard an initial budget from both the House and the Senate. Usually, we have not. And now that I think what we're waiting to see, there are revenue estimating conferences that occur in Lansing. They bring economists in from U of M and MSU and all around the state, and they will project numbers on revenue to the school aid budget and the general fund They do this in January and again in May. So now I think what we're waiting on is the May revenue estimating conference. And then when those numbers come out, I think our Republican legislature in both the House and Senate then will say, okay, here are the projections on what revenue is going to be. So here's our budget.
Yeah.
I can almost guarantee you it won't include a 45-cent road tax.
Probably for not. Sure. So even if everybody agrees on the education component of the budget, it's not going to pass if they can't agree on the road funding. And that is probably going to be the sticking point.
It is. And the governor has, if I was advising her, I would have said, when she put it out, I see her side. I do. And I just think it was probably a mistake to come out with that right out of the gate in January and early February. And I almost feel like it's painted her into a corner on what because, you know, the Republicans didn't use the word dead on arrival.
Yeah.
Which that just tells, that's the signal they send that says right. It's not happening.
Yeah.
But it's just short of dead on arrival.
Yeah.
And so with that then the governor backed off a little bit and said, well, now there's got to be a road funding fix for me to settle a budget. Mm-hmm. So that further kind of, I think, puts her back in a corner of what if the Republican legislature says no deal.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, so those years in 08, 09, and 10 prior to Governor Snyder, where we had a Republican governor and Republican legislature, we might be right back into that situation we had with Governor Granholm, where you've got one party in the governor's chair and another party in charge in the legislature, and you have stalemate.
Yeah.
And that is not good for schools when you're trying to project, you know, again, you're trying to project your numbers with your students and you have no idea what you're going to get from the state in the final settlement. So you do your best guesstimate is what you do. But by the time you get your budget in early October, you're into the school year.
Sure.
Our fiscal year starts July 1. So now you're 5 months in and there's not much time to adjust. You can't cut staff. You're already into October into the school year.
Right.
So it's hard to right size your district, if you will, if you needed to cut people.
Yeah.
So you better get your projections close.
Right.
In that scenario. So I'm hoping that we'll have a meeting of the minds, and I think she's a really reasonable person. I think there's already been some good signs regarding education from her seat. I like her. Mm-hmm. I think she's really real. But I also understand the other side that's saying, you know, we're already spending this much. Let's take a really hard look at what that's doing right now on roads, and then I think everybody agrees there needs to be an increase. But does that increase need to be that high?
Right. I think the fact that she comes from the legislature is going to help. I mean, I think it was kind of a wacky idea to say 45-cent gas tax increase, knowing full well that's probably not going to pass, but that was her tactic, and maybe it was just to ask for more than you think you're going to get and try and get half of it. Whatever the case is, I think she'll be able to negotiate with the legislature because she's been a legislator.
Yeah, so. And she's very well respected. Mm-hmm. So far.
Yeah.
Now, if it gets to the point where it gets real angry and she says absolutely no deal without this, and I find it ironic, we were talking about this before we came on the air, I find it ironic, you know, people slammed President Trump for the government shutdown. It's, folks, there are two sides to this.
Sure.
And she's used those words already from the Democratic side. Now you got a Democratic governor saying, we could very well have a government shutdown.
Right.
October 1 is the deadline. And if you remember, we had one. Under Governor Granholm.
That's right.
We nearly had a second.
Yeah.
We had one.
Right.
In October, I think it was 09. I'd have to look at the year. It was either 08 or 09 or 10. When we were in the middle of the recession, there just wasn't money flowing into the state coffers. And so I sense that we may be headed in that direction. And I don't like that feeling.
Right.
Our RESA budget, we actually have to have it out in mid to late April. We have to get it to our local districts to take a look at in May because we have to approve it in June.
Right.
So we're done. But we don't rely on state aid per student. And so it's a little easier for us to get a budget out than it is. I really sense the locals are going to have a difficult time projecting, and there are a lot of questions will be asked of, well, what do we think our state aid is going to be? What's the per student foundation allowance? Because that's the majority of the funding comes in from state aid from the state. And it used to be based on your local property taxes, and you'd, you know, you'd get that 18 mills approved, and then other districts had additional money coming in from property taxes. But that's all changed with Proposal A in 1994. Whatever extra money, or if the money's short, if you get your 18 mills approved, you get the foundation allowance. The state makes up the difference. Right. So you're pretty much guaranteed once they give you the number,
right?
You know what you're going to get. But I don't know where we're headed on that.
A lot of guesswork. That's not, not easy.
For
one,
sure.
One of the things that Reese does, we were talking about this off the air, and I wanted to bring it up because we've seen a lot of trucks laying cable at the north end of Port Huron, and that's you guys.
It is. A company called 123Net. I may have mentioned this in a program a few months ago
when
we talked. We are collaborating with them. I'm a firm believer that when we all work together, it benefits everyone. And so you try to put together win-win situations. 123Net was looking for a fiber network to be able to latch on to because fiber, that glass fiber, carries information and data. So they were looking to launch into St. Clair County. They do some business with some of our healthcare facilities, actually. And so we worked out a trade. So they're actually doing a build of fiber for us. They actually started a Lake Huron Medical Center on the south end, came underneath the Black River up through the SC4 campus, and now they're going up Pine Grove Avenue and then up 24th Avenue to connect to our fiber on Key Wadden Road. Now, what does that do for RESA? We have 200 miles in the county, but it's already over 20 years old, this fiber network. So a lot of areas are going to need to, or we're already repairing them. You know, animals chew through this fiber and they, you know, there's all water gets in, all kinds of things happen. So what this bill does is provides us with what an area of redundancy is, what we say, or a backup. So our fiber right now goes up Gratiot Avenue along the lake, and it goes up and feeds Holland Woods from the lake and from Gratiot Avenue and then into Key Wadden Elementary and then up to Key Wadden, comes across and then goes down to Fort Gratiot and Thomas Edison. So if we build a backup up through Pine Grove, if that were to be cut or squirrel chews through it on Gratiot, the whole, all the school districts don't go down. And it feeds everything to the north, by the way, up to up through Croswell, Lexington, and over to Peck. And and so this will create a backup. If it's cut on Gratiot, it'll simply take a path automatically up Pine Grove Avenue and up Key Wadden and feed into Holland Woods, Key Wadden Elementary, and Port Huron Northern on that pathway. And then also we'll build a short path from Thomas Edison back to Pine Grove down North River Road. That'll create another loop, a redundant loop. So the goal is to get to where this older fiber that we have, if it, you know, if it wears down or if it's cut or it's, you know, something happens, we've got another pathway.
That's pretty cool.
To all of our school districts. And by the way, we feed all the county library system as well. So it's a very important network that we're certainly using to benefit our school districts, because when we lease access to this fiber network with companies, we actually lower the district costs for use of this network that we run. So I think last year was the first year that I can ever remember that we actually lowered costs, data costs, to our local school districts. And it's going to, I think, continue to come down despite all the work we're doing, especially if we can get this work done in a trade.
Right.
And so they get access to our network, two strands of the 72 to 144 strands we have. And in exchange, they're giving us 72 strands up Pine Grove Avenue and all the way up to Key Wadden Road. So it's a great thing for us, good
sure.
for them.
Absolutely.
Good for our school districts and budgeting as well.
Yeah, because technology is more important than ever,
isn't
it?
Oh, my gosh. Well, fiber is the backbone for, you know, people say, well, what about cell service? 5G is going to, and 5G will be important. Guess what gives you access to 5G?
Right.
Fiber.
Right, yeah.
So the small cell technology that you're looking at, those come off of fiber networks.
Yeah.
So I think more than ever, our network will be of value here over the next few years.
Fascinating stuff. Kevin, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for coming in.
Always great to see you, Paul. Thank you.